Pat Heller, owner of Liberty Coin Service. Good evening, Pat. How are you?
Great. Hello, Cheryl.
Good. Are you safely back from Mackinac Island?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Very good. We've got a couple other topics I want to talk to you about. You were interviewed while you were there at the conference, at the Mackinac Policy Conference. But first, I guess I want to get an overall impression from you of the conference. Were you able to attend some of the events and some of the speakers?
I was not able to attend any of the formal presentations. Instead, I just walked around the hallways talking with different people there.
Well, you can get quite an education that way, can't you?
Absolutely. Well, the thing that seemed to be most on people's minds was the fact that Governor Snyder had been there, had given a speech, and would be there all 3 days. And when he wasn't speaking, he was out on the floor providing an opportunity for people, politicians, the media and the business people and other attendees to have access to him. He was there to talk to people.
Which is not the norm for a conference like that, is my understanding. As I just spoke with Senator Rick Jones of Grand Ledge, and he was talking about the same thing. It was quite different this year than it has been in years past with the accessibility. And as he said, and I think you're alluding to as well, Pat, that the governor, media is not his favorite thing to do, but he was quite open to it this time.
That's correct.
And what were some of the conversations that you enjoyed out in the hallway with folks, being able to just get a conversation going?
One of the reasons I attended the conference was to describe how when the Michigan legislature abolished sales tax on rare coin and precious metal sales in Michigan in 1999, that caused such a boom in the business that industry employment in Michigan had doubled. The number of businesses had increased 50%. And not only did the Michigan Treasury collect more than enough sales tax to fully offset the sales tax they gave up, but they collected enough more income tax from the jobs creation and single business tax and Michigan business tax from the new businesses to make it a nicely profitable tax exemption, and suggest that business and government look at other opportunities to apply the same principle in other markets.
Well, and as you say, that perhaps this could help other businesses and other industries.
Right. There's the idea being that instead of saying the government has to do something, instead say, can the government get out of the way and allow the markets to create jobs and growing businesses?
And how were these discussions that you had on this subject, how were they received with different folks?
It was pretty uniform that most people are not aware of what had happened there, and that certainly was something that should be looked at and maybe brainstorm on how can we repeat this positive result in other places.
Well, and what was the change that was made? They enacted a sales tax and a use tax exemption?
That's correct. Before that, people wanting to buy gold and silver in Michigan had to pay sales tax, or if they purchased it from one of the 30 other states that don't charge sales tax on gold or silver sales and left it stored there, they'd never have to pay sales tax. And you actually had businesses in Michigan leaving the state to reestablish themselves in states with these exemptions. Once the exemption was enacted, the outflow of jobs stopped, and actually the conventions and trade shows in Michigan started growing, so it had increased benefit to the hospitality industry as well in the state.
So that's how the payback came. That's how the difference was made up.
The industry employment doubled within 9 years, and a number of new businesses started, and sales soared. The industry overall in the country has done well, but the overwhelming amount of increase was in retail sales in the state of Michigan. So the exemption definitely made a big difference.
Do you think that the Snyder administration is an administration who would take a look seriously at something like this?
I certainly hope so. There's a lot of other parts of the market that could possibly benefit the same way.
And as you said, kind of the proof is in the pudding. I mean, it's this particular one has been shown to work in this industry and could work for others.
Yes. One difficulty with getting the state government to try doing this, and this I got from the House and Senate fiscal agencies and the Treasury people, is that they can only do a static tax analysis saying, if a tax law was changed, this would change our current collections. They're not able to do a dynamic analysis saying, if this change was made, what other changes would happen in the future? So the Treasury and the fiscal agencies were not able to forecast that, well, businesses would increase, employment would increase, conventions would increase, and the Treasury could make a profit. Unfortunately, private businesses do that all the time, but the Michigan Treasury and fiscal agencies aren't able to do that.
Is that something that could hold something like this up, or it's just have to get a little more creative?
If were possible for the Treasury and the Michigan, or the House and Senate fiscal agencies to do this, they could more easily identify opportunities to grow business and jobs in Michigan without costing the Treasury anything.
Well, there you go. Now we're talking, huh?
Yes.
Very good. Another subject, and I know we don't have a real long time, a lengthy time to talk about it, though, is you've spoken about and put out some writing about the federal government's recent steps toward a goal of nationalizing private retirement account assets. This is something we should be watching.
It is, but it's such a slow-moving program that it's largely not being picked up by the mainstream media. The initial steps of this happened in the first 2 years of President Clinton's presidency. When the Democrats regained the presidency and both chambers of Congress in the 2008 elections, activity started to pick up again. Your listeners are probably aware that when the federal government came up to the debt ceiling last month, they had the Treasury said they were going to start borrowing money from the federal government employees retirement program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be a big step for somebody to say, well, it's not fair that only federal employees' retirement assets should be tapped. How about having all employees, including the private sector, be provided to the government? The other step is Senate Bill 1020 was introduced May 18th, which effectively makes it more difficult for 401k beneficiaries to get loans from their 401k plans. In effect, they're keeping the funds in that account against the day when I think the U.S. government is going to want to tap them.
And this is one of those things that some of those issues that I'm thinking can seem so complicated, people aren't paying that much attention to, perhaps.
Right. You have to put the whole picture together over a series now of going on 20 years. It's not something that it'll be a headline news item today or tomorrow or the next day. But if you look at the whole stream of things, it's part of a plan that was announced in House committee hearing in 2008 to eventually have the U.S. government take possession of all private retirement assets and replace them with U.S. government bonds paying 3% interest indexed for inflation.
Well, Pat, as always, the information you bring to this show and to the listeners is extraordinary. I appreciate your perspective, and thank you so much for your time this evening. Glad you're back safely.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. Pat